Welcome to On the Line, a NOAA Fisheries podcast.
The climate is changing all over the globe, but the climate that humans experience here on land is only part of the story. It's less than half even. 70% of Earth is covered in water, and things are changing in the ocean just as fast as they are on land. So how exactly are things changing in the oceans? To find out, we've got Bill Peterson on the line. Dr. Peterson is a biological oceanographer with NOAA's Northwest Fisheries Science Center. Bill, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem, Rich. Nice to talk to you.
Bill, I called you because you've been running an ocean monitoring program out of Newport, Oregon for 20 years now. It's called the Newport Hydrographic Line, and you go to sea every 2 weeks to collect data. What kind of data are you collecting exactly?
We make some basic measurements of the ocean, which is the water temperature, the salinity, the transparency. We take water samples to measure the nutrient content. We do plankton net tows for the zooplankton. We collect krill eggs and larvae and krill themselves and also fish eggs and larvae. So we're sampling the lower trophic level of the food chain. And then we're on to the next station. And we've got it down so everything goes, click, 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 click. There's no sitting around because we don't want to be out there, half the night. So.
Right. So part of the reason this data is so useful is that you've been collecting the same kind of data for 20 years. So I guess it gives you perspective on how things are changing in the ocean. Talk to me a bit about what you're seeing lately and whether it's the same kind of thing you're used to seeing in the past.
Lately, things have been even more different. I mean, I was quite shocked back in 1996 by seeing things that I wasn't expecting. But I was even more shocked this past year because of this thing called the blob. It was called the blob because it was a warm mass, just like from that movie, right? So just think of this big red mass from the movie spreading from the Gulf of Alaska all the way across the Pacific to, to Japan, up into the Bering Sea, up into the Arctic, and then spread south, kind of off the Oregon coast. But in September 14th of 2014, we know the exact day of this, the blob came on shore and the water warmed up by 7 degrees centigrade in a course of about 6 hours. 6 hours. I mean, it was stunning. And, at that time, everyone's saying, oh, my God, what is this? Well, we started, of course, from our cruises, we were taking plankton samples, and looking at the plankton, it was like, wow, there was species in those samples I had never seen in my life. And it's kind of like looking out your window and seeing a flamingo walk by your house. It's like, whoa, what was that? And then a parrot flies by, and you think, whoa, what is going on here? This is really weird.
Yeah, that's interesting, because a lot of what I read in the paper about climate and ocean concerns physical effects, like rising sea levels and increasing temperature and decreasing ice cover in the Arctic, and all of those physical effects can be, the data can be collected by satellite, but you're looking at something different. You're looking at copepods and different small organisms in the water, can't be seen by satellite. So you're looking beyond the physical to the biological effects. So talk to me a bit about how climate change is affecting food webs and ecosystems in the ocean.
One of the key things we've learned from these last 20 years is that the species of copepods that we see off the coast here change as a function of the temperature of the water. So right now the ocean is very warm, and we're seeing these warm water copepod species. And they have an attribute two attributes that's not good for the food chain. The first attribute is that they're very small. And the second one is that they have a very, very low fat content. Whereas when the ocean's colder, we get these really much larger copepods, and those have a very, very high fat content. And this is important to the food chain because a lot of animals migrate up here to the waters off Oregon every spring expecting to find a very fatty food chain. And that's true for whiting, for sardines, for gray whales, humpback whales, sooty shearwaters, albatrosses come from Hawaii. I mean, animals come from thousands of miles away up here to feed on this, what's usually a very, very fatty food chain. So when they got here last year, they would have found the food chain that had almost no fat in it, very low numbers of copepods, and basically food chain was very bioenergetically poor, let's say.
You mentioned a number of animals that are being affected by the warm temperatures, everything from fish to whales. And if it's affecting fish, then it's obviously affecting fishermen. What's happening in terms of how temperature changes affect our fisheries?
I think the blob basically showed us there can be a wholesale shift to the north of tropical species up into waters of, say, Oregon. I mean, this shift was on the order of 1,000 kilometers, I mean, even more, I mean, maybe even 1,000 miles. And the global climate models predict these northward shifts, but they predict that they'll be like 10 miles per year. So by the year 2100, we'll have tropical species up here off Oregon. Well, the blob shows us that this can happen almost overnight. And so what'll happen is here at Newport, where salmon fishing is a pretty important part of the economy, we won't have salmon anymore, at least not very many. We'll have other fish to fish. We'll have tuna fish and probably squids to fish. So it's more an issue that things will shift northwards, but they'll shift so fast that people may not have time to adapt. It might be a couple of years of economic hardship because it's tuna, not salmon, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned salmon. So in terms of the information, the understanding we're getting from this monitoring program, how does that help us in terms of salmon recovery and management?
Well, you know, one thing we found with our 20 years of work here is that the copepods themselves can be used to actually forecast salmon returns a couple of years into the future. So that's one of the values of our work, to use those as indicators of ocean conditions. And they become like earlier warning indicators of good or bad things into the future. So the salmon respond to the warm ocean for sure.
One last question for you, Bill. You've been running the Newport line since 1996, so this is sort of a 20th anniversary for you and your colleagues. I know from speaking with you earlier today that that's kind of a big deal. Why is that?
Well, one important reason is that for your work to be included in the IPCC climate reports is that you have to be working from a time series that has at least 20 years of data behind it. So now that we hit 20 years, now we can write papers and it'll be included in these analyses that come out every 5 years. That's pretty cool. You know, it really is. I mean, there's not many, it's a well-recognized problem that there aren't very many long-term marine time series that they can draw on to make inferences about the future. So we're going to be one of the key contributors to the IPCC in terms of the California current, how it might change in the future. It's very exciting. Yeah.
That was Dr. Bill Peterson, a biological oceanographer with NOAA Fisheries and a dude with a long-term perspective. If you want to know more about the Newport Hydrographic Line, or if you just want to check out some cool pictures of researchers at sea, check out the New Portal blog. One of the cool things about this research is they go out every 2 weeks. So if you want to know what's happening off the West Coast in almost real time, check it out. You can find that link to the blog on our podcast website. That's www.fisheries.noaa.gov/podcasts. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for more stories about ocean life and ocean science. I'm Rich Press, and you're listening to On the Line.
You have been listening to the NOAA Fisheries Podcast, On the Line. Join us next time for a firsthand look at the people and the science behind managing our nation's fisheries. For more information, visit NOAA Fisheries at www.fisheries.noaa.gov. On the Line is a production of the NOAA Fisheries Office of Communications.